Bibles, if you would, to one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Romans chapter number 8. I tried to, my watch messed up, so I tried to bring me my phone, so I kind of know when to go in the prayer room stuff, but stick in my pocket when I get ready to preach. I don't like to sit and look at watches. One time I went and preached one place, come back, they had a clock about this big sitting on the pulpit. I don't know what they was trying to say, but anyway, they had it on there. I talked to one guy one time. He went to this place and preached, and the pulpit had red, yellow, and green. When they wanted you to be preaching, they had green light. When it went yellow, you had 5 minutes to finish up. And when it went red, that meant for you to cut it off. And circus, like I said, it's a circus.
Did you ever get asked back to that church?
I probably will. It's been 40-some years. I'm waiting, okay? But I expect it any day now, okay? Romans chapter 8. I'm sure I'm somewhere on their list of preachers' call, no doubt. Chapter 8 deals with a couple things. Very, very important chapter. Romans is such a rich book. It covers so many things. Chapter 7 lets us see ourselves for who we are. Paul wanted us to know that there's nothing in ourself, nothing in our flesh worth boasting about. There's no good thing. If we preach this morning, you know, that's what irritates me about funerals. Most time you get in a funeral and everybody wants to preach good to get you to heaven. They're all in heaven because they were good. And there is none good that can get you to heaven. It just can't happen. It's like we preach this morning. We're dealing with a holy God, and you don't go to heaven on your goodness with a holy God.
Amen.
So he lets us know that we're a wretched people. As a matter of fact, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And he also lets us know that things that we really want to do, we end up not doing. Things that we did not want to do, we find ourselves doing. That's no excuse. It is sin. And it's still sin, but he lets us know that we have that battle within our flesh. But chapter number 8 elevates us. It elevates those who are saved, truly saved, and lets us see that we have something that is so rich. That's why he starts it out in verse 1 and says, "There is therefore now no condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus." Now. Not to come, not in glory, not in heaven, now. Right now, there's no way you're going to fall in condemnation. We have been set free from all condemnation. As far as the judgment of God, it's great. I'm talking about the great white throne judgment, standing accountable for our sins. Christ, if we've truly been saved. He goes on to explain, we can be carnally minded or we can be spiritually minded. Chapter 8 is all about the spiritual side of salvation. Verse number 9 lets us know that if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. You want to put a test to see if you're saved? A couple things. When you got saved, God ought to put in your heart the love of God. Ought to been something changed about the way you look toward everybody. The second thing is you ought to have the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 14 says that He will lead you if you have the Spirit of God. Verse 15 says that He will establish that relationship where you cry, "Abba, Father." And verse 16 says that His Spirit will witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So we have the Holy Spirit of God with us. When you know that you're a child of God, it helps. And it talks about that Then he goes on in the very next verse, in verse 17, 18, he begins to talk. And he reminds us, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." In other words, we recognize and we understand that there's something better waiting for us. Then he goes in the next few verses and he lets us know that we're just like animals. All these animals out here, you say, "Oh, they're all happy." No, they were not created the way sin has damaged them, the same way it's damaged all of us. The Bible says the whole creation of God is groaning to be set free from sin. One of these days we'll be set free. Until that time, if you look in verse number 26, the Bible says in verse 26, says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities," or our weaknesses, "for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God." Now, our ignorance concerning the matter is sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. We don't know what's happening. Our ignorance concerning the method of how God's going to do something, we don't know. Sometimes we look and we feel like we're at our wits' end. But the amazing thing is, the Holy Spirit of God that God gives you intercedes for you. It tells us that He identifies who our help is when we don't know how to pray and what to pray for. It's the Holy Spirit. It also identifies for us, if you look, the position of that helper. He's inside of us. He lives in us. He dwells in us. We have the Holy Spirit inside. Not only that, He also discerns what our needs are. He knows what we need. And so the method that He takes is He prays for what's going to be best for us. Verse 28 falls in that, and we're going to preach on that tonight. And I know all of you are familiar with this, and I've preached on it several times, but I want to look at a couple of thoughts on it. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good, them love God, and to them that are called according to His purpose." But I want to look at verse 29, a couple other verses, if you don't mind. He said, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen. Now, let me say this. If God has begun a work in you, He's going to finish a work. You have been justified by the blood when you accepted Christ. You are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you. And someday when you go to heaven, you will be glorified when you get your new body. You will be free from sin. You'll be free from all imperfections at that point in time. From the moment you get saved, what God begins in your life is He begins a process to get you to be more conformed toward the image of His Son. Now, the image of Jesus, being conformed to the image of His Son, is not always the way that we see things. We see things that we ought to be able to do what we want to do and be happy and all those things. That's not always true. His Son was not always happy when He was here. There's many times that His Son wept. There's times when His Son was in pain. There's times when His Son suffered persecution. There's times when His Son went through a lot of different things. There's times when His Son did without so other people could do with. All kinds of things happen in His life. We don't understand. But we do want to look at this because this is one of those faith verses. We've been teaching on faith in Sunday school. You say, "What do you mean by faith verses?" It sure is a lot easier to quote it than it is to live it. If you're going through a real hard time, you're going through very touching things, situations, it's hard to quote this. Before you allow Romans 8:28 to be a help to you, you have to also go over Timothy and know this verse. He says, "For we know in whom we have believed." There are some things that you need to know. You got to know in who you believe. Now, who are you putting your confidence in and who are you trusted in? We preach this morning, a lot of people has their own figment of their imagination of who God is. We get ours from the Word of God. Now, also, the Bible says that we can know that we are saved. We can know that we have been born again. You need to understand that. You need to know that. Otherwise, if you don't know that you've been born again, you don't know in whom you have believed, then you'll never be able to grasp, we know, in verse 28. He says, for we know. There's nothing any better for a Christian than to know some things. When the world is falling apart and they don't understand, we know. And we also know that God knows. When we're going through trials and tribulations, we know. And we also know that God knows. Amen. Going through financial woes, we know. We also know that God knows. So we look in all kinds of issues that comes and uncertain things that's happening in our life, we know. And we also know that God knows. Can I say how much that helps us? Now, sometimes our faith withers. The Bible says that we are to put our trust in Him. In Proverbs chapter 3, put all our trust in God. But sometimes we know our trust does not always fall in God. The Bible says we should be thankful for all things, and sometimes we're not thankful as we ought to be. We're not trusting as we ought to be. We're not faithful. Are thankful, and sometimes our faith is not where it needs to be. But Romans chapter number 8, verse 28, is a powerful verse for us. Let's look at a few things, and let me share with you just some few things that I want you to establish. First of all, notice the people. It's not for everybody. And by the way, listen to me very carefully. It does not say, for we know that everything's going to be good that comes in your life. That's not what it's saying. There's bad things going to come in your life. There's unjust things going to come in your life. There's unfair things going to come in your life. There's other things going to come in your life, hurtful things, painful things. There's all kinds of things going to come in your life. It's not saying anything about what comes into your life. And so, but it does say that everything that comes in your life, you have a God who's able to take all bad things, all unfair things, all unjust things, all things that we bring upon ourselves, all kinds of things. You serve a God who's able to take that and make it work for your good. Now, I tell you what, that's a powerful, powerful thought. He can take the very messes, and every one of us makes messes. You know, most of the storms that comes in our life are self-inflicted storms. We have created our own selves. Some of us parents, you say, I'm going through this. Most of us as parents have created our own self-inflicted storms. We deviate from what God has said and what God's taught us and what we know better. And sometimes we deviate, and when we do, there's a price sometimes that we pay. But I'm glad that God can take all things. I think about some storms that has come in my life. And I think about how hurt, how painful they've been, how they've ripped us out, hearts out. But now you look back and you see how God brought good things out of it. And God changed your whole heart, the way you look, the way you feel about certain things, and how God has touched your heart through those things. And so, first of all, note this. It's not for everybody. Look in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. It's those who are saved. Only those that are secure. Those that sanctify. Those that will be glorified. All people that loves God. That's who this verse is for. I've heard lost people quote this verse. If you're sitting in the presence tonight and you're not saved, this verse is not for you. God does not make this promise with you. He only makes, you say, well, what if I love God? If you love God, you love His Son. Jesus said, if they haven't seen you, they've seen me. If they love you, they'll love me. We love him because he first loved us. How do we know his love for us? Because he sent his only begotten Son. We love the Son because we love the Father. If you don't love the Son, then you can't say you love the Father. That's why he said, how can you say that you love God in whom you've not seen, and you hate your brother in whom you have seen? You can't do that. So listen to me. This verse is only for those people who love the Lord. If you're saved and you love the Lord, this verse is for you. Look on. Look at perception of verse. He says, for we know. How do we know it? We have God's word. We stand upon God's promises. We have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Man, I tell you what. There's some things I know. Faith. Faith has turned into is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. But what God has done is he's taken things from his word and he's made those things real to me. Amen. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Jesus is real. Amen. The place, the city that Jesus has gone to prepare is real. Angels are real. All these things are real, as God has said. You know, I was thinking, there's some friends got up and spoke at the funeral today, and one of them got up and he made the statement. I'm not going to belittle a lot of people, but the statement he made, he didn't realize how wrong he was in statement. But he said, Don spoke to me last night and told me what to say tonight. It wasn't Don speaking. Don doesn't speak no more. He's departed from his body. His soul is gone. And so therefore, what we need to understand is this. There's things that we know. And it's good to know when you rely upon the Word of God. I don't have to go to some spiritual something, because there's a lot of seducing spirits out there. I don't have to trust in some hope that's unfounded. What I know is based upon the Word of God. And so this verse here is to those of us who are saved, and we can know because we have God's Word and His promise on it. He can't lie. When He tells us this, we can count on it. Look on. Also look, the Bible says all. You know why? Say all? Because God is sovereign. God can do anything he wants to do. You say, preacher, I've heard people make this statement. I've got such a mess, I don't even believe God can get me out of it. You don't know very much. All things, all. God includes all. Everything. Anything. You say, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. God knows the end from the beginning. He already knows. He knows everything. Think about that. We know that. I hope you know that. For we know that all things. In other words, we trust and we believe that God is sovereign in all. Now, look on. He says, all things. Now, that's a little perplexity to us, because it can be pretty complex sometimes, things that we're going through. I'll tell you what. I've been on this side of issues, and I can't see on the other side. The storms and storm clouds and all the rain and all the things that I'm having to go through in the storm, I just don't see the other side. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we know that all things. You say, preacher, how's it going to turn out? I don't know. I'm perplexed sometimes how God's going to do something, but I know this. I am confident that God can handle all things. And so therefore, we have to learn to be content. as we face these all things, knowing the sovereignty of God, knowing that He knows, He can remove a storm, He can keep us from going through a storm, or He can allow us to go through a storm. But He knows. Now notice this. The Bible says, and we know that all things, what? Work together for good. In other words, the power, the things that bring suffering in our life brings praise to God. The things that bring suffering to our life brings purity to the saints of God. God allows all these things. God allows some of these troubling times and these issues that we're going through as we face these issues. He allows those to bring Him praise. And He allows those things to help make us pure. He's just able to do that. Not only that, but knows this, His purpose that He has in these things. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that who are called according to His purpose. They work together for what? For good. God makes something good out of those things we went go through. I've done touch on that already, but I want to emphasize it again. If I had each of you to stand up and tell me the most trying time, those of you who are children of God, when you've gone through your trying time, I hope you can now look back and see some good things that God's brought out of it. Oh, it was tough. And yes, it may have been self-inflicted storms, and it may be storms somebody else brought you into. But now can you look back and see how God's hand has moved in it? How God has helped? For we know that God, these things work together for good. I look sometimes and some of these children would not be here if it was not for things that happened. Some of it was very grievous. But now you look upon it and you see the blessings. Some of you that's dealing with some Randy and Tanya's children. Some of you look and you say, I don't see. I get aggravated in some things. I know some of you all get aggravated. I hate to see people bring children into the world and not take care of them. But I also know this. I don't know, and I know many of you are struggling and striving and trying to do this and trying to do that, and I admire what you're doing. And I know some of it aggravates me, and I get disgusted with some things. But I know this, that God will work something good out of what you're doing. He'll make something good out of it. You say, well, I can't see it. That's the perplexity of this verse. We can't see the end. And during our struggles and our issues during process, and it's other things with many of you. I could start right here, Brother Junior, and look here. You say, well, Brother Junior, he's kind of got life. Brother Junior's got his own problems. And I could start right there, and we could go work right around this room and come all the way, Brother Porter, and every one of us could stand up and say, talk about issues in our lives. Some of us have special prayer requests right now because we got certain burdens upon our heart. Some of us facing surgery and those things. Some of us are facing issues of parting loved ones and issues there. All kinds of things. But isn't it good to be part of them that love the Lord? Isn't it good to have this verse? And to know that even when we don't know what to pray and how to pray, that the Holy Spirit of God we have prays for us, and God's going to use it, and he's going to make us better because he's going to use it for the good. Some way. For good. The work of suffering. The wisdom of suffering. The worship of our suffering. God brings all those things to play in our suffering. The trial of our faith is as what? Anybody remember what the Bible says? The trial of our faith is as what? The trying of our faith. Precious gold. Do you understand when God puts us through these things and allows us? The call. Look at the plan. He has a purpose. Notice in verse 28. According to his what? God has a purpose for every one of us. You say, preacher, I'm afraid. Can I tell you something? You're not going nowhere till God's through with you. God has a purpose for you. When he chooses it's your time to go, all the surgeons in the world can't keep you here. All the armies. All the running up and down the highway getting in shape. But until that time, he has a purpose. Until he gets through on this earth, he will be making all things that come in our life work for the good according to his purpose. And then when he chooses to take us out, he'll make that work for the good according to our purpose too. Isn't that good to know? Last but not least, look back at your verse. I'm going to close. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his. Amen. It's all about God. It's all from him, to him, for him.
Amen.
And so, folks, I don't know of a more precious verse in the Bible for those of us who are saved. It's amazing to be able to walk through life. It's amazing to start here and look at heaven. And every step of the way, we know. We know. We know. We know God knows. We know God knows. We know God knows. Yes, I can't see. I don't understand. But God does. And I don't know how and where it's going to end, but I know this, there'll be some good come out of it. And I've seen that play out time after time after time after time.
Amen.
I was thinking about Tony and Missy on their adoption. And I remember when she used to weep on the altar asking for God to let her have a child. And I was thinking about not only did he give her two of their own, but now brought three more into their life. But I mean, those are real tears and real burdens. She went through some hardships of losing pregnancies, right? Wasn't easy. You don't mind me sharing that, do you? But when you look, and you know what? They don't know this, and they may not have ever thought about this. But God had to work some things out in their life, their marriage, their issues. They may not have been ready to deal with a child at that time. Did you ever think about that? because they may have some growing God wanted them to do. But we don't know, but we know this. Somebody gave some of these little precious souls up. And now God's brought them to a place where they can hear the word of God. They can be influenced by finding Christ in their life, hopefully. How much better could that be for them kids? God's much, he's way ahead of us on chess moves. Amen. We'll never even begin to catch up with him. What we need to do is just let God be God. And we just need to believe, trust him, and know. Amen. Let's stand.